The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, and welcome to Wednesday, the 20th of October, 2021. It is officially hump day. Ah, boy, and it's a rough one for me this week because I woke up this morning and realized that mango season is officially over. It's a sad, sad day. I was hoping that one of my friends would send me a mango from the island, you know, a mango that was nestled in a late-bearing tree that they had forgotten about and were prepared to share it with me. But alas, none of that has happened. And here I am, sad, at the end of mango season. You know who else is sad at the end of mango season? Them raccoons. They're very, very sad at the end of mango season. And they're sad at the end of fruit season generally. And if you've noticed the slight chill in the air changing in the seasons, we are entering what we call the peak vegetable production season or the winter season. Now, here's why this is important. Well, first of all, it means that it's time to start growing veggies, right? And we all need to be growing and eating our veggies. But it means that the fruit production is gone and raccoons have less food available to them in their natural environment. So raccoons are going to be coming closer and closer to homes and yards, and in particular garbage bins, looking for food. One thing that raccoons are attracted to, they like briny, salty, fishy smells. They like sardine cans and tuna cans and things like that. They like old fish, right? So if you are a farmer trying to protect your crop from raccoons, what you want to do is set traps or make traps using empty sardine, mackerel, tuna cans. And if you are concerned about raccoons terrorizing, getting into and destroying your garbage bins, then if you eat lots of tinned fish and lots of fish, you want to make sure that you not just rinse, but you wash those cans out before you put them in the garbage. It makes a whole lot of difference. Because don't matter what you try to do, you can't stop the raccoon from wanting to get in your garbage. You could stop him from getting in, you know, but you cannot stop him from wanting to get in to your garbage bin. That's an important note. Mr. Reginald Raccoon asked me to give you all some tips as we enter the winter season so you wouldn't be so frightened or startled or upset when you see him and his crew moving through the town. Good morning. Today is a what's in the news open line kind of day. There's lots of things to talk about. Don't think that I missed that the process is advancing. For people with marijuana convictions, they want those convictions to be expunged. I don't understand why someone has to apply to get their conviction expunged. Do we think that there are people who are going to turn that down and wear that as a badge of honor? Plus, why do I have to come in and see you? I am probably already very affected by my engagement with a police force that thinks that people who use or sell marijuana are of the devil. I would not want to come in to see y'all. Why can't it be automatic for non-violent marijuana convictions? It should be automatic. But if you think it shouldn't, If you have a problem with this, let me know. I think it's very interesting and something we need to talk about. Do people who were convicted of marijuana possession or minor sales, do they deserve reparations? Do they deserve some sort of compensation that recognizes the state's change in position in the law and on the substance? That is a big, big one. Here's a very interesting, well, before we get to this interesting story in today's Tribune business section about the winners, Bahamian winner of the Prince William's $1 million Earthshot Prize. Right above that story are the prices for gas. And it is Wednesday, October the 20th. And I'm almost certain when I looked at the paper at the end of last week, our numbers were nowhere near here. Really, really what I want to ask is, see, like I could understand slightly why the prices of gas are shooting up at a time like this. What I don't understand is, where do we go? Which unit, which department, who people are responsible for engaging the wider Bahamian public about the movement of gas prices? Helping people better prepare and forecast their budgets for the future. And in particular, I think of fishermen, right? Who every day they have to buy some sort of fuel for their vehicles. How do they forecast? How do they get a sense of the movement of gas prices? Got some text here. Great show as usual, Miss Green. I heard on radio in Haiti they kidnapped some missionaries and are asking for $17 million, Miss Green. What these Haitians dealing with cross there? They already the poorest country on planet Earth and they kidnapping missionaries. Well, I mean, you sort of answered the question. If they're the poorest country on Earth, that's why they're kidnapping missionaries. But what I worry about is, why are missionaries going to the poorest country on earth and worried about converting people to Christianity and not converting people from so poor they have to eat mud pies to practical, knowledgeable farmers who could feed themselves? That seemed like a better conversion mission to me, right? But that I'm not in any way justifying what has happened. This is very, very concerning. And I hope that those people are rescued safely. And I hope that they are returned to their country of origin safely. That's what I hope. And I hope that people don't use or continue to use Haiti to further their own agendas, whether personal or collective, and on many levels. Another text. Hi, so the... So the former PMs feel like the raccoons. Mango season is over. That's something, May? That's something. I am concerned about the former prime minister, the leader of the opposition, the honorable minister's engagement, now that he is out of that honorable chair, the prime minister's chair. I wonder, where were these things? Where were these ideas when you were the leader of the party? Because you almost carrying on as if you were doing these things that you're suggesting that we do. See, because the only real difference is the relaxing of the curfew. Because all the other things, like they were actually happening due to a lack of enforcement. Right? See, the real problem is not the rules themselves, it's the lack of enforcement. And as we've seen in this transition in power, We haven't seen any real change in the mechanisms that provide enforcement. So I want to talk about that as well, because I see in today's Tribune, Family Island cases, quote, nothing to do with the election. Former Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis says an increase in COVID-19 deaths and cases on some family islands has nothing to do with the early general election held last month. He said the outbreaks have come too far after the election to be attributed to that event and the campaign season. But I don't know if we could really say that, because here's the thing. We can't say with certainty what the incubation periods are, right? What the period of time from you contract it to you begin to display signs, you become symptomatic, right? We don't know who began the cluster that turned into the outbreak. We don't know the timeline. So when you say that they haven't come, I'm going to say to you, you can't prove that they're not associated with the election. But here's another thing. Activity that you would expect in election time, why wasn't there a deliberate and substantive focus on increasing the resources directed to family islands? Why didn't we see a policy reserving seats or resources for coming out of family islands, or sending staff and enhancing clinics on the island with staff and resources? Why didn't we just see that? See, I think it does have to do with elections and our inability to not just prioritize governance over politics, but to properly prioritize resources. Anyway, I'm going to go to this caller. Producer, let's go to this caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Caller, that is Dark University along with you, Aaron.
Hey, good morning, Brayman.
I'm calling pertaining to a statement you made.
Okay.
To those people that couldn't kidnap them, the missionaries. Number one, missionaries doesn't necessarily have money to go to places to do the work for the Lord. The church or organization sponsors them.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, they have to go all around to find out what's happening in order to bring back to the church or the organization. My last point is, knowing that situations as such are happening in Haiti, we got to close our border, because we don't know who are coming into this country, and we don't want anybody to spoil our face.
I got you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. That incident suggests that we need to, what's the correct language? I want to say tighten up, but that doesn't seem sufficient, but we need to enhance our border control services on the southern border. But at the same time, Brayman, there are people out there who are laughing at you and I when we would suggest things like that. Given the nature of this plantation, its culture and history, like, close off the borders? What? You want the other economy to stop running, eh? Anyway, I see I got another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hey, morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Okay. I do want to mention something about Haiti.
Yes.
I mean, as a reminder, my prediction that they would have had another earthquake has already come true with the last one they had with the 7-point-something. So, and I'd like to ask you a question, too.
Absolutely. Ask. You can ask.
Oh, yeah. But people always said to me that because we had strong prayer warriors. As you speak, you see, because when you spoke about Haiti and the missionaries,
yeah,
I want to bring it a little bit. I look at you as a philosopher, and I think you're good for this type of conversation. So people always, in the conversation I have, they always say, well, because we had good prayer warriors in the Bahamas, that we hadn't seen any devastating hurricanes as we had with Dorian. And I always used to say to them, now this is where you and me alike, our philosophies comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say to them, but what if a hurricane comes straight down the chain and comes straight through to the Bahamas? And that's what Dorian did. So the question I have to you, You think it's because we're not prayer warriors as we used to be? Why? If you can, you can add probably if you want to COVID into, but you think is the reason why, as philosophers, we have already had Dorian, which is, I mean, that is the number one point. To, if it could happen, it had already happened.
Right, that devastating hurricane, it has come. Now, so I don't think that's it. Now, I'm gonna share some with you.
I'll hang up. Yeah. Or you want, I'm going to hang up and listen, or you want me to stay on, but I can hang up and listen to you. There was a question.
Yeah, hang up and listen.
All right. Good.
All right, and if you feel compelled, then you could call back. I don't think, I don't think prayers can control the weather. Like, I don't think that. But I tell you what, I think the sort of devolution or the loss of that culture, there are signs of it. You see it in the way that we interact with each other. Prayer and faith are important, like at the individual level. But what you see with prayer collectively, that's about community and supporting each other. So I do think that there are negative things that we have experienced since we lost that sort of culture of prayer warriors. But it's not about weather and storms. It's about the way that we relate to each other, the way that we commune with each other, the way that we think about each other and include each other in our lives. Because when you include someone in your prayers, you include them in your life, right? And in your space. Now, in terms of weather, we're talking about geography and politics, right? So the fact that they moved the center, the capital, to New Providence, that was a geostrategic decision. After studying the charts and the history of storms, they realized that New Providence is protected, right? And when weather travels through, that they get the least of the brunt of the weather. So one of the reasons why we haven't had, so we call that devastating storm, is because A, the storm hasn't hit the capital and devastated the functioning of the country, right? So it sort of hit an out island, but the sense is still intact. So we could still send out resources and plan and strategize. But no, I don't think that we were protected from storms because we were great prayer warriors, and then that has devolved, and then we see something like Dorian. That's about not just climate change, but planetary shift as well. You see, the scientists will tell us that the North Pole is moving slowly. We're also experiencing planetary shift, which means that where we are in respect to the stars right now is different from where we would have been, say, 100,000 years ago, or 100 years ago, or 500 years ago. Callers, I'm going to need you to hold the line. I got to go to a break. But when we get back to the from the break, I'll get right to your calls. So please stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green, and we are talking what's in the news and the ordinary case of the unordered vaccines.
What happened to you? You look like you lost your paycheck.
Man, I just realized I got scammed out of a bunch of money. They said I won this contest and just needed me to send them some money so I could collect. I mean, to expedite something. Or was it to smooth the process?
Man, you're smarter than that. Protect yourself against scams and fraud by following these tips. If you know you didn't enter a competition, you can't win. Never pay to receive a cash prize. If you've been asked, you're being scammed. Check trusted internet sites for verification of information given to you. Do not give your banking details to people you don't know. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. Monitor your bank account regularly for any questionable transactions. Get more information at GetMoneySmartBahamas.com.
I've been representing out this time. Census 2021 for your family line. You better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rocks are 242. The count depends on you. So tell Ted to go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Census 2021. This one's for everyone.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green. I'm getting to you, callers. I just want to make a couple of notes. The point about missionaries not having any money. I know I used to volunteer to go to summer camp. In fact, I used to pay my way to go to be a volunteer at summer camp. But you know who have money? Churches have money and governments have money. I mean, the people are criminals. They're not stupid. There's money there, right? Those people, you don't come to Haiti and set up shop in Haiti with no money. And so I think it's a question of, are churches prepared to work with the communities they want to be a part of and change, or are they just coming in to make the change they think is right? And also on earthquakes in Haiti, you know that Haiti, the part of Hispaniola, sits on plates, right? Like the fault line in the plates. So the earthquakes in Haiti have nothing to do with religions that are not Christianity, like voodoo and Obeah and spiritualism, have nothing to do with that. It has to do with geography. Haiti sits on fault lines, so earthquakes are going to continue to happen. We experience those same earthquakes here. You know, we experience the same thing. Let's go to that first caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Erin Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How you doing?
I believe in science. I also believe in supernatural.
Yeah, man, I think the two are the same.
No, they don't. Well, somewhat they are not.
If you believe that God is omnipotent and omnipresent, right, then everything in the universe is of God, right?
That's another case, Erin Green. When we get into that, when we get into religion, that's another case.
Yeah, yeah. Go
because
on.
My philosophy is a little different.
All right.
You know, Erin Green, I can't wait for Parliament to open, and that's my philosophy. On next week, they see our opposition leader in action. Voices my great prime minister.
Oh, boy.
You know, that's fascinating to me. I am praying for this week to sort of go away and get into House of Assembly.
And get the business, get the people's... Now, is it to get the people's business on the way or because you won't watch them two slapping up?
Well, Darren, you raise a good point. One, yes, to watch them slap up, but to see how the former government handled the people's business.
Yeah.
And my opinion, I'd be doing my own calculation online. They handled the people's business poorly.
Yeah,
and also to watch my government reinstall the people's business and add new vision, like the greatest prime minister, the Lyndon vision, to the people.
I got you. Listen, I got another caller on the line. I got to go. But what I want to see on that first day is I want to see the leader of the opposition get into the House, stand up, and ask the supporters of his party... And
they forgive me.
And the supporters of his administration, particularly those people that would have stepped up to support the vaccination program. I want to see him get up in the House of Assembly, acknowledge those people, and ask them to give the same commitment to the Bahamian people under the leadership of Prime Minister Davis.
And also on the inquiry on Vendor's bills, Foreign Minister. And tell me, what he do with my $2 million that he paid out on the vaccine?
Oh, hold on. Wait. Okay, I got to go. Let me go to another caller. You said he paid down on the same unordered vaccines? Yeah. Okay, let's go to this next caller. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning.
Yes, Aaron.
Yes.
When I said close the border, I meant to close it to illegal activities.
No. I know exactly what you meant. That's what I meant too.
Okay.
The other. Sorry, I didn't mean the gray economy. I meant the other economy. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. But I got the point that you were making. Thank you very much. Now back to that thing that I almost choked on. So you're suggesting, see, I got to do some research, because you're suggesting, or what I infer from what you said, was that it's possible that not only was a tranche of vaccines that we were expecting, like, unordered, like we didn't fill out the paperwork, but that somebody put a down payment on it possibly and still didn't finalize the process? Is there a refund on that deposit? Is there a refund? Anyway, the ordinary case of the unordered vaccines is almost as interesting as the mysterious case of the mutilated money, which is nowhere as exciting as the outrageous case of the missing Oban files. Ah, boy, there's so many stories you don't even need to watch TV. Let's get to the text. Good morning, Aaron. Today is International Chef's Day. Well, thank you on behalf of Chef Wayne Munka for sharing that. Look at what we have to talk about, food on Friday. Man, International Chef's Day. Well, thank you very much. That is awesome. You got to find a chef today and ask them to cook for you for free, because it's International Chef's Day. Or for a tip. But whatever, go find a chef and love them up. I got a text here from early in the show. Enforcement, but declaring the charges that were placed on persons who didn't honor the COVID enforcement. But that's very interesting as well, because there's a legal question of whether some of those restrictions should be struck down. Like they weren't even legal within the bounds of a state of emergency. And then I'm going to be honest with you. Some of those measures were, and I don't like to use this word often, but I'm going to reserve it for this moment, stupid. How are you arresting unhoused and homeless people for not sheltering in place? Especially when you don't have a shelter available for them to shelter in place. But particularly because at the first press conference for the state of emergency, the first question raised by Ms. Jasper Ward, an excellent reporter, was, what provisions were put in place for the unhoused and homeless people given the nature of this particular restriction, the shelter-in-place order? And the response to that question was, and I kid you not, key. And how difficult it was to watch these grown men and adults who you are supposed to rely on to lead you through an unprecedented pandemic giggle at perhaps the most important question in the press conference. Now, some of the people that we're considering expunging, they were locked up for not being in place when they had no place to be in. People were locked up for going for water in communities that don't have running water in the middle of a health-based pandemic. Another text, Minister is right, Brave Wave is the fault in COVID increase. Criminal activity and barroom crowding, they rolled back curfew with no policing plans and cars. Okay, see, because when you said criminal activity and barroom crowding, I thought that happened definitely under the Minister administration. Now, Brave rolled back the curfew, and I will say that I was upset that that wasn't preceded by a national address indicating clearly which provisions were rolled back, why they were rolled back, what is expected of us as citizens in the new dispensation, and what we can expect from police and lawmakers and authorities, given the changes. The text goes on to say, they roll back curfew with no policing plans and cars all over the roads after 12. Get it right, Aaron. Same way, when the curfew was 9 p.m., when the curfew was 10 p.m., there were cars all over the road. There was a lack of enforcement and policing. I don't think this is an administrative, right? Like when I say that, this isn't a difference in governance from administration to administration. This is a general problem with governance. And you blaming, and you suggesting that we could blame one particular set of politicians. I'm going to ask you all this question this morning. How many people run the stop sign in front of Doctors Hospital every day with the knowledge that the healthcare system has collapsed to the point that people who are in car accidents could possibly die because they can't get medical attention? It ain't just the politicians. We, the people, dislike being told what to do. Another text. Good morning, Miss Green. Great show always. To that caller who said Haiti is poor, Haiti has more millionaires than people living in the Bahamas. They can change the outcome if they band together for their country. So the callers should not speak of things they do not know. I mean, I appreciate what you're saying about that. What I want to try and figure out is, why do we always treat Haiti as if it's poor? Like, we treat Haiti as if they have no resources to negotiate and bargain with. But then to do that, you would have to treat them as equals and negotiate and bargain with them equally and equitably. I don't know if people are prepared to engage Haiti like that, so they continue to label and treat Haiti like that. I see we got a caller on the line. Let's get to that caller. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You still there? I'm sorry if I missed you. Let's drop that, and then you could call back, caller. I have a text here that says, I think the man that you referenced in the video beating the woman yesterday is going to court today. I want to follow up on that story. I also want to follow up on the story in yesterday's Guardian about the indecent assault charge that was appealed. The case between a 57-year-old man who indecently assaulted a 13-year-old young boy. And there are a number of questions that I have to reiterate. Why is the maximum penalty for this crime only 3 years? That seems to make no sense. And there's some other questions that I think need to be asked. And maybe me asking them here is not the most effective or sensitive way to ask them, but I am deeply, deeply concerned about how this case was treated and the contributions from the powers that be. And when I say that, what I mean is the statements and ruling by the judge, the prosecutor, and even the defense attorney. I wonder if our judicial system really, truly understands what it means to center the victim in the process of administering justice. That case just doesn't make any sense. And the idea that somebody was considering giving them a fine for that. We don't even know if this matter was pled down, right? Like, initially, the individual was charged with a far more severe crime, and then it was pled down. We don't know. But I hate to think that young people and parents and the caretakers of young people are moving through the system, not certain whether the courts are truly on the sides of the victims. Got another text here. It says, price control publishes notices when gas prices are scheduled to increase. Yeah, but what is the amount of time, right, between the publishing and the actual increase? I'm talking about real forecasting. People need like 3 months minimum to forecast a budget in an effective way. So I got to go to another break. We get back from this break, I'm going to get through the last of these texts, and then maybe we're going to ask some questions about the mysterious case of the mutilated money. It's like Nancy Drew days, man. This thing is getting exciting. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. We'll be right back.
What happened to you? You look like you lost your paycheck.
Man, I just realized I got scammed out of a bunch of money. They said I won this contest and just needed me to send them some money so I could collect. I mean, to expedite something. Or was it to smooth the process?
Man, you're smarter than that. Protect yourself against scams and fraud by following these tips. If you know you didn't enter a competition, you can't win. Never play to receive a cash prize. If you're being asked, you're being scammed. Check trusted internet sites for verification of information given to you. Do not give your banking details to people you don't know. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. Monitor your bank account regularly for any questionable transactions.
Get more information at GetMoneySmartBahamas.com.
Invite students in grades 4 through 12 to compete in the Get Money Smart Bahamas video essay competition. Students must produce a 3 to 5 minute essay sharing their views on the following topic. The Bahamian economy is an ideal model for digital financial services. Get a parent or guardian permission to share the link to your essay with us on social media and have your entry judged for cash prizes in either the primary school division, junior high, or senior high school category. Essay submissions must be received by October 22nd, 2021. For more information, visit GetMoneySmartBahamas.com or see our post on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk, Chikchani talks all day. Ah, boy. See, I never thought, Chikchanis, I never thought we would have had something to distract these people from our business in the news, but the raccoons are carrying on bad. Let me get back to the text here. It's a very interesting text. It says, COVID infection can be detected anywhere within the first 2 to 3 weeks of exposure, but the hospitalizations and deaths are further down the line. For example, remember the photos of tourists jammed in the airport on June 21st for start of home porting. July 6th, three-week timeline, PMH was at COVID capacity. Then we saw people dying. It wasn't until July 29th that Dr. Minnis acknowledged something was happening. That's 6 weeks. I'm not going to read the last sentence. It just says Dr. Minnis is not that bright. I'm going to go on. Another text. What may save us now is the mainstream is finally acknowledging what pioneers like Dr. Kevin Bethel were saying along. Deaths can be avoided with early detection and treatment. And on the, still talking about COVID, curfews and cars on the road have zero to do with COVID spread. I am ashamed of our supposedly intelligent leaders like Carl Bethard and Renwood Wells who consistently perpetrated that nonsense. This text is saying all of our death spikes were closely associated with mass collection of persons, primarily tourists at the airport or cruise ships. Election rallies and polling stations fall right in line with the pattern. Quote unquote, people on the road does not. That's very interesting. That's very interesting. And I hope that people are considering this line of reasoning and processing it. I don't want to be that hard-footed and say, you can't tell me, but there has to be a link. There just has to be a link. between the two. I got another text here. Good morning. Dr. Darvill said the former government forgot to order more vaccines, but the PM and Fred Mitchell was big and bold at the airport when the last batch of vaccines arrived. Darvill, you're not telling the truth. No, a text. I think you may have misread the story. There are several spaces from which the government is receiving vaccines. And if you read today's Guardian, the top of the fold, former government forgot to order more vaccines, that they have vaccines from COVAX. There are vaccines that were coming in from the U.S. And so the vaccines that they went to receive or accept were not necessarily the vaccines that were not ordered. So we can't call them liars for that. It says, great show as usual. Tell the Haitians don't even think about or let the thought cross their mind about trying that in Nassau. You mean kidnapping influential or rich people for ransom? Do you know how close the U.S. is to the Bahamas? I don't think anybody coming over here trying to play that foolishness. Oh, no. I mean, look at me, an anti-imperialist, anti-capitalist saying it, but you think the U.S. is going to stand for that? No. Another text, great show as usual. I hope the people in Haiti know Trump trying to come back. Yet Trump is a different kind of American foreign policy. And then another text saying, great show as usual. How could the government relax restrictions and cases are going up? Well, I too am concerned about that. Not the relaxing of the restrictions in and of itself, but how they were relaxed. The lack of public engagement around the decision and what it means for us. You changed the rules. Tell us why you changed the rules. Tell us what you expect from us now that the rules are changed. So you notice we didn't do that when we implemented turn left on red. And now you have people turning right on red. And I'm speaking to all of y'all people at the Mackey and Shirley Street intersection, particularly the taxi drivers, who think that because the government said you could turn left on red, that means that they could turn right on red because ain't nobody coming. Another text, good morning, Miss Green. Great show always. To that caller who said, hey, there we go. Sorry, I think I touched that one again. Good morning, Miss Green. So many people in Haiti are poor. However, the country is not poor, as they are rich in natural resources. That's a big difference. Just look at what they grow. A lot of them eat from the soil. Yeah, right? See, they are, the country is not poor. The question is, does the wealth sit equitably within the hands of each citizen? You see, they say the Bahamas is not poor either. In fact, the funders, as an advocate, when I go looking for money, like I stopped looking for money. I became an advocate in like 1998. I stopped looking for money in December 1998. Because the Bahamian economy excludes us from most of the funding opportunities in this region. But when you get on the ground and you look at people's actual lives, you realize that the vast majority of money that the people say is in our economy doesn't sit in the pockets or in the hands of ordinary Bahamians. But maybe one day I will find a pot of gold at the end of Frank Watson Boulevard, if I could ever find the end of it. But you see, here's the thing. When I found out that Hillary Clinton's brother became a co-owner of a gold mine after the 2010 earthquake, I knew for certain that Haiti wasn't poor. Lots of us know that. This text says, please read to your audience, blind trust in authority is the greatest enemy of the truth. I figured that out when one year my mother volunteered to ration the mangoes. She's going to be in troll of the mangoes. And she told us to trust her. She is the mother and she could be trusted. Well, listen, I have never trusted in authority again. Never trusted in authority again. But it is our duty as citizens within this democracy to not just question, but to critique the actions and decisions of our government. And I want to piggyback on something the Honorable Prime Minister Brave Davis is quoted as saying in today's National Review. And he says, this is not a blame game. Governance is about choices and priorities, and clearly they made their choices and their priorities, and we can criticize them and say we would have done something differently, but that is their choice and priorities. Well, Honorable Philip Brave Davis, let me remind you of something. We didn't vote the PLP in. We voted the FNM out. So you're not sitting in that office on the lofty idea that you were chosen by the people. It's not your mandate. We didn't give you the authority to make these decisions on our behalf. In fact, what we did was we rescinded that authority from a prior administration, which would suggest to you that it don't go like that this time, that you do not have the moral authority. They are not your decisions to make. They're not your choices to and your prioritizations. See, because when you said we can criticize them, you didn't really mean the people generally. So right now, you don't really mean we, the people, can criticize you either. They're not your choices to make. They are our choices to make. We, the people, who you have volunteered to lead, to take our ideas and dreams and bring to reality. Not what you've been thinking about over the last 30 to 40 years of politicking. Just a note on blind authority. Another text, Ms. Green, if the government is going to do free testing and Dr. Darvall is complaining about underreporting in the use of antigen tests, are they going to be using RT-PCR testing then? Sounds very costly, correct? If it sounds costly, it sounds counterintuitive or ineffective because the CDC just said that they're getting rid of the RT-PCR test. If I'm not mistaken, they said that they are not, that it cannot determine or distinguish between the flu and COVID. So this question of whether they can be using RT-PCR tests, if they are, they're probably not going to be expensive because I imagine that we are waiting on receipt of batches of discarded tests. Come on, there's so much we have to talk about. Unfortunately, I am all out of time. There's one last text as we roll out. You play that music, producer. I can behave today. I can behave. Aaron, is the previous texter saying that tourists make up the bulk of our COVID deaths? Airport workers and tourist related workers. And I think the text is saying is that you see a spike in cases after what we have loosely termed super spreader events. But I want to interrogate that some more because that's very, very interesting. And I think in terms of policy and strategy, we need to understand these things. Anyway, I got to go. I got to respect my producer today. Sometimes I'd be running him hot. You've been tuned into Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's been my pleasure. We've been on the clock with Aaron Green. It's 11 a.m. Levon Miller and Unleashed is up next. We're going to continue this lively conversation tomorrow. Have a great day, Bahamas.